You know what? I've been thinking over these last weeks a lot of things, and one of the things that has come to my mind, there's a lot of competition for your souls. Did you know that? There's a lot of competition for your soul. And I'm going to tell you a little bit more about that in the next little bit. The adversary. You know what I mean when I talk about the adversary? The devil, Satan, Lucifer, whatever you want to call him. The adversary wants people to be confused in what they know as the absolute truth. He wants people to be confused into thinking, well, okay, Jim, I know about the Bible, but there's more to life than that. It isn't Jesus plus this or that. The adversary wants people to be confused in what they know as the truth of Jesus. The adversary wants people to be complacent in their lives, as Paul said to Timothy, and we'll look at these verses later, having a form of godliness but denying its power. That's what the adversary wants. Pharisaical look. Yeah, he looks like all that. He looks like all that Christian and all that, but his heart sure don't. We're going to look at that. The adversary wants people who are Christians to be arguing and fighting and disagreeing and looking inward to ourselves and not outward to the needs of the world. The adversary wants to keep people satisfied right where they're at, outside the fold of God. You probably have noticed the title of today's message, and you probably have looked and said to yourself, boy, that's not very pleasant. These are all words that Jesus used about people. These are all words that you will find in the New Testament. As a matter of fact, we'll look at them briefly from Matthew. But these are words that Jesus used to describe false prophets, false doctrines we'll talk about. He described Pharisees with these words. He described religious-looking people with these words. And so let me ask you before we look at our first scripture in Matthew, are you an uncompromising follower of the Lord Jesus Christ today? I'm not talking about Jesus plus this or Jesus plus that or this book and that book. I'm talking about, are you an uncompromising, unrelenting follower of Christ today? Or are you following something else? You say, Jim, what do you mean? Well, I'm going to talk about that in just a few minutes. Have we surrendered our life and everything else in our life to the Lord Jesus Christ? You know, when you look around, you start reading, you start researching, you start listening, you start talking, there's a whole lot of false teaching and a whole lot of false teachers going on today all around us. A whole lot of confused people, even in the churches, confused about what is truth. There's a whole lot of false doctrines around the world today and half-truths. Satan is a clever master at telling half-truths, which is no truth at all. It started from the Garden of Eden. And so I just want us to be reminded today and aware of the wolves around us. The snakes and even the hypocrites, of which we must be careful of not to be ourselves. And so I want us to look at Scripture, and I want to talk a little bit about this wolves, hypocrites, and snakes in society today. Turn with me to Matthew 7, verse 15 and 16, if you have your Bible, or use that one in front of you. I'm reading from the New King James Version. Matthew 7, 15 and 16, Jesus said very clearly, be aware of false prophets. People that come looking like Christians. People that come talking a good talk. People that come that have a whole lot to say. Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravenous wolves. They look good on the outside. They have a good speech. They have a good tongue. But he said, inside, they want to eat you up and spit you out. They want to chew you up. Beware of false prophets. And other parts of Scripture reminds us that false prophets were evident in that day, and they will be evident until the end, until Jesus returns. He goes on in verse 20 to say, you'll know them by their fruits. Watch them close. Examine what they say. Scrutinize what they say. That's why I tell you regularly, don't take my word for it. Take it from the word. Take it from the word of God. Look at what I say to verify. I don't intentionally ever tell you something wrong, but verify it. Make sure it's from the word of God. You've heard of the false prophets. Let me throw out a few names. Jim Jones, 1979. You've heard of the false prophets, Reverend Moon and the Moonies, David Koresh. You've heard of the today's translation, today's version, Jesus of Suburbia, and in Florida right now with 1,000 followers, having them getting tattooed on themselves, 666 and such. You've heard of these false prophets, even to the point of Joseph Smith, false prophets. And this week I was enlightened to yet another one in the last century by the name of Edgar Cayce. When I began to research this man and what he stood for and what he did, false prophets, hundreds of them. Hundreds of them from the time of Jesus until the time he returns, leading people off the centrality of Christ. Leading people in just a little way, just a little fashion to begin with. And then within a few years, the movement is way off. Do you think David Koresh never talked about God? He talked about God. But he wasn't grounded in Christ. You think Jim Jones didn't talk about God? He talked about God. And yet he was not focused on the centrality of Christ. And pretty quick he's got 980 people drinking poison in the deserts of Guyana, South America. All of them committed suicide, falling. False prophets. Jesus said, beware of these false prophets who come to you looking like sheep, but inside they're ravenous wolves. And you say, Jim, I don't see many of them around today. Listen closely to the facts that I'll tell you in just a moment. The first question you might have is, how do you know? How do I know what is truth? And the first, most obvious evidence is, does it line up with Scripture? Does it line up with Scripture? Is it from the Bible? Is it what Jesus said? Is it what God had said? Or are we today in the church like millions who don't even believe the Scripture? Millions do not believe it. What was the statistic? Not too many young people here. Jess or Alana, maybe you remember a year or two ago you went to a choir of the fire. What was the statistic of today's young people believing in the truth? 4%. 4% believe in the Word of God. Are we like the millions that say, well, I'll pick this and I'll pick that and I'll use this and I'll use that and the rest of it I don't need? Absolute truth is Jesus. Absolute truth is His Word. And I just heard a statistic this week too, again, about some of today's society. I guess today's society from a certain age down, I don't know if it's teens or what. 9% of today's society, and I believe it's a certain age limit, maybe 20 or 18 or something. 9% of today's, that part of society, believe in there is an absolute truth. In other words, the other 91 of that age group says that there is no absolute truth. It does. In other words, they're saying that right is not always right and that wrong is not always wrong. There is no absolutes in life. And I ask ourselves in the church and I ask myself, am I just playing church and looking religious like the Pharisees? Am I and is our churches just playing church and looking like the religious Pharisees while our hearts, as Jesus said, are far from God? Our actions and our obedience are far from Christ? I ask myself that. I ask myself that about our churches. Turn with me, if you would, to Jeremiah 8. I've spent a lot of time in Isaiah and Jeremiah lately, and my heart is broken how God's has been broken over the lostness of His church. My heart is broken like Jeremiah's heart was broken, and eyes were weeping at the lostness of Israel. And in Jeremiah chapter 8, for a few verses, beginning at verse 4, Jeremiah is talking about false prophets. He said, Jeremiah, say to the people, this is what the Lord says. When people fall down, don't they get up again? The natural answer would be yes. And he goes on to say, when they discover they're on the wrong road, wouldn't they turn back and get on the right road? He says to Jeremiah, the natural answer would be yes. Then God asked him, then why do these people stay on the self-destructive path? In other words, once we get on that path towards destruction, once we get pulled off centrality of Christ and get onto this false prophets, false doctrine, false teaching, whatever it is, God is asking Jeremiah, why don't they come back? Natural tendency is to get back up, to keep going. He says, I listen to their conversations and I don't hear a word of truth. Is anyone sorry for wrongdoing? And the first thing we might ask is, Jim, how do we know it's wrong? Does it line up with Scripture? God clearly told them, one God you shall have, it's me. I am a jealous God. And yet they had multiple gods. And it's no different in today's society. We have broken every commandment. I've mentioned that before. Is anyone sorry, God said to Jeremiah, for doing wrong? Does anyone say, what a terrible thing I have done? No. All are running down the path of sin, as swiftly as a horse galloping into battle. Even the stork that flies across the sky knows the time of her migration, as do the turtle dove, the swallow, and the crane. They all return at the proper time each year, but not my people. God said to Jeremiah, not my people. They don't know the Lord's laws. Even though I've told them, he said, they don't know who I am. How can you say we are wise because we have the word of the Lord when your teachers have twisted it by writing lies? Listen to verse 9. These wise teachers will fall into the trap of their own foolishness, for they have rejected the word of the Lord. Does it line up with Scripture? I was with a dear friend of mine just the other day, and we were talking about her funeral. She's going to die. There's no question about that. Of course, I guess all of us are when we come to think about it. But she's going to die, and she's going to die pretty soon. And we were talking about Scripture, and we were talking about heaven and hell, and we were talking about all these things. And then she dropped this bombshell on me that said, yeah, but there's more to life than the Bible. There's more to it. There's more to truth than the Bible. Is it Jesus plus something that I'm putting my faith in? Or is it the resurrected Christ? Matthew 23, you know the conversation that Jesus had with the Pharisees. He scolded them big time, and I'm only going to refer to a couple verses. Matthew 23, verse 25, he says, woe to you, scribes, Pharisees. This is the religious people, remember. The scribes are the ones that knew the Old Testament inside and out. They're the ones that wrote every word. The Pharisees were the leaders of the people. They were supposed to be the religious people. And he said, woe to you, you hypocrites. Because, he said, you cleanse the outside. In other words, you look all that on the outside, but inside are full of extortion and self-indulgence. And I wonder about that today. Are we filled with such self-indulgence that we haven't addressed the inside of the cup? My heart has not been addressed. Blind Pharisee, first clean the inside of the cup, he said, and the dish, and the outside of them will be clean also. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites. Excuse me. For you are like whitewashed tombs, which indeed appear beautiful outwardly, but inside are full of dead men's bones and all uncleanness. Even so, you also appear righteous to men, but inside you are full of hypocrisy and lawlessness. And is that, I will ask myself, is that what I'm looking like? Is that what we, the church, is looking like today? Is that what Christianity in America, around the world, is today? Looking all that on the outside, and on the inside we're just full of hypocrisy, lawlessness, dead men's bones. False doctrines, wolves, ravenous wolves, will take us to that outside looking good, and inside no heart transformation. There's more in there. I'm not going to take the time to read it all. The time is quickly going. He ends up in verse 33 by saying, serpents. He's talking to the religious people. He's saying to them, and I'm paraphrasing now, stop looking like you're Christians and start living like you're Christians, because you've had a heart transformation. Serpents, brood of vipers, Jesus said, how can you escape the condemnation of hell? Let me tell you some facts about today's society. And these are mind-boggling. I got them out of a book from Leonard Ravenhill called Revival God's Way. That book is right back here in the window, as well as another book. If you'd like to read either one of them, they're there for that. But I got these facts out of this book, and they so startled me that I went on to the internet and I looked further for the organization that published them and for the person that put them together. They so startled me, they're so mind-boggling and shocking that I couldn't believe it. But after researching, I know Leonard Ravenhill to be a solid Christian writer, and after researching the organization called Christ for the Nations, who publish it, who's a solid organization, Christian organization, godly organization that's been there in Dallas for 60 years, and this sociologist Jeffrey Haddon, he was not a Christian, I learned, but he was a sociologist in the University of Virginia, and so he polled all these pastors. Not lay people, not the pew-sitting folks, the pastors. He polled 10,000 of them for some research he was doing at the University of Virginia about 20 years ago, and 7,441 replied. So these answers are coming from pastors. Here's the questions. To the question, is Jesus the Son of God? Now to me that is an absolute truth, yes. He is the Son of the living God. He is God incarnate. But the pastors, 7,441 replied. Of that group, 82% of those Methodist pastors, now I don't know how much of this was Free or United or whatever. There's not very many free Methodist churches in America, but nonetheless, Methodist pastors, that question asked, 82% said no. He's not the Son of God. In the Presbyterian circle, 81% of Presbyterians said, no, he's not the Son of God. In the Episcopal circle, 89% said, no, he's not the Son of God. And 57% of American Lutherans said, no, Jesus is not the Son of God. Does that blow your mind? It blows my mind, but it just goes along to say with what Jesus said, there will be false teachers and false doctrines and false teachings all over. Beware of that, he said. Beware of the ravenous wolves who look like sheep, but inside they want to devour you. To the question, is the Bible the inspired Word of God? Now, I understand the results that the kids went to and heard from a Choir the Fire last year said only 4% of our young people today believe that the Bible is the inspired Word of God and completely truth, but this is pastors. To the question, is the Bible the absolute truth, the inspired Word of God? And the results were almost identical as those prior statistics I just gave you. 80-some percent in three circles said, no, it's not. To the question, does Satan exist? Let me tell you this before I answer that. I had a really difficult night last night. I don't know if it's because I was talking about false prophets and the devil leading people astray or not, but in the night the devil came to me and kept me awake a large part of it, and I'm tired. I'm real tired this morning because I was wrestling and I was fighting and I was claiming the name of Jesus for several hours last night. He's real. He's real, and he will come to you in your tiredness and in your weakness, and he will tempt you. But to the question, does Satan exist? 62% of the Methodists surveyed said no. 47% of the Presbyterians said no. 33% of the Baptist pastors said no, he don't exist. To the question, was there a physical resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ? 51% of those same 7,441 Methodist pastors surveyed, 51% said no, there wasn't. There was no resurrection of Christ. 35% of those same Presbyterian pastors that were surveyed said no. 33% of those Baptist pastors said no. 13% of those American Lutheran pastors said no. There was no resurrection, physical resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. So I ask you today again, friends, families, my neighbors, what is truth? What are we trusting in? What are we hanging our hat on, so to speak? What have we surrendered to? What have we given our lives to? And are we longing for more of the truth that is Jesus? Jesus is the absolute truth. Jesus Christ died for my sin, resurrected, seated at the right hand of God today is the absolute truth. I believe it. I believe that the Bible is true. John 8 says, and you don't have to turn here because I think you know this, but John 8, 31 says, then Jesus said to those Jews who believed in him, he was having this conversation with Pharisees and the Jewish people, and he said to them, if you abide in my word, that's why I challenge us on the first Sunday of January, how often am I in the word of God? Am I in there every day? Am I learning from it every day? Am I challenged by it? Am I corrected by it? Am I instructed by it? Those, he said, that abide in my word are my disciples. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. That's good news. We can be free. The truth is Jesus. John 14:6, Jesus said emphatically to Thomas, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Nobody comes to the Father but by me. Jesus is the truth. Not Jesus plus something. Not Jesus plus something else. Jesus Christ, crucified and resurrected for me, for my sin, is the truth. Then they answered him in verse 33, we are Abraham's descendants, and we have never been in bondage to anyone. How can you say you will be made free? You see, they didn't feel they had a need. We're of the tribe of the seed of Abraham. We've not been in sin, and we've not been in bondage, so we don't really have this need to be free. And I feel Americans today, even in the church, we're saying the same thing. What do I need to be set free from? Half-truths and sin are keeping millions in bondage today. Half-truths and sin are keeping people confused and complacent outside of the absolute truth of Christ. Jesus answered and said to them, I say to you, whoever commits sin is a slave of sin, and a slave does not abide in the house forever, but a son abides forever. Now therefore, he said, if the Son, S-O-N, if the Son makes you free, you will be free indeed. That's good news. That's how we get free. Not by going to church, although I think that's good, I think that's healthy. It's the Son, S-O-N, that sets us free. It is Jesus. It is Christ Jesus alone, our way to the Father, our way to heaven. It is not Jesus plus something else. It is not other things. It is Christ. Listen to me now closely while we wrap up here in the next minute or two. Has the Son of the living God made you free? Because if you haven't been born of Jesus Christ, we are not free from the bondage of sin. We are not free to be serve the living God and His servant because we haven't been set free by the grace that we sung about this morning, the grace of the living God and the blood of Jesus Christ. There's a lot of talk today about all roads leading to heaven. That's not what the Bible says. There's a lot of talk about that in the New Age movement. All roads eventually lead there. I've been told that straight out. I've heard it on YouTube. I've seen these clips sent to me, and I've had people, I've spoke to them right here. Well, eventually all roads lead there. That's not what the Bible says. It is Jesus. Jesus, the truth that leads us to heaven. There's even too much talk about reincarnation. I encountered that again this week. Well, I think I was that, Jim, before, and I'm thinking maybe that when I come back. That's not what the Bible says. It's not Jesus plus reincarnation. It's not Jesus plus any other road. It's Christ Jesus. There's a whole lot of conversation about, well, God is love, Jim. And God, I'm just thinking God will forgive me. And I think I'll be okay because I haven't been that bad. If there hasn't been repentance on my from my heart, from my behalf, repentance and in turning to Christ Jesus, it doesn't matter how good or bad. I'm outside the fold of God. It is Jesus that the way we get to heaven. There's more scripture I wanted to read to you in 1 Timothy, 2 Timothy chapter 3. We don't have time. But let me tell you this before we close. There's a lot of false prophets out here today. There's a lot of false doctrines on everywhere you look. Magazines, Christian radio, I mean not radio, but TV called Christian TV. Looking good, looking like kind of like Pharisaical, acting good, acting sometimes like godly people, talking about God, but inside their hearts are ravenous wolves. They're not teaching you the truth of Jesus at all. Beware, Jesus said, of the false teachings. Beware of the false prophets. You need to know the truth. It is simply Christ Jesus. And we better know, we better realize, we better understand that His word that says, I'm the only way to heaven, is the truth. I hate to shatter some bubbles here this morning, and I hope I'm not, but I would shatter them if I said this nationwide. Oprah is wrong when she said there's more ways to heaven than Jesus. She's wrong when she says, I think you can get there this way, this way, this way. And I am not her fan. I didn't watch her on TV. I do appreciate her humanitarian effort. But I have seen the video clip that she said, there are lots of ways to heaven with God. Jesus is only one. She's wrong. That's all there is to it. That's not what the Bible says. Pastors that preach some kind of doctrine or religion outside the crucified, resurrected Jesus Christ are wrong. And if I preach something other than the resurrected Christ, I am wrong. There is no other name under heaven, the Bible says, whereby men must be saved. It is Jesus. It is faith in the resurrected Christ. Jesus was right when He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. And so I'm challenging us again today. Do not get pulled in to the devil's schemes of us believing half-truths. Half-truths are no truth at all. Do not get pulled in on false teachings and false religions. And I'm not going to name anything. I'm just saying know the truth. And the truth, Jesus said, will set us free. The truth is Jesus. I visited with two terminal friends this week. Neither one of them has much time left. I visited with some more older folks today, broken down, and time is running out. And I'm wondering, and I'm praying, and I'm discussing with them, and I'm trying to get them to understand time is running out, and I'm trying to help them to understand, do you know Christ? You know what? We're terminal too. We're not going to live forever. And if we're not ready for Christ, if we've not surrendered our lives completely to the resurrected Christ, or if we think, yeah, I know about God and I even believe that Jesus came, but I've never really surrendered to Him, I've never invited Him into my life, time's running out for me too, and I'm not ready for eternity. Do I know the truth? Time is going, the sand in the hourglass, brothers and sisters, friends, is running out. And if I have not repented of my sin and turned to Christ and invited Him into my life, I'm not ready. That is what Jesus said. That is the truth from the Word of God. That is the absolute truth. So let me encourage you today, please, please come to know Christ in a personal way if you never have. He is the truth. Let me ask you, are your sins washed away today, brothers and sisters? Do you know the absolute truth of Jesus? If you don't, just to yourself, God can hear you. Repeat these words after me. Father God, forgive me. I repent before you. I need Jesus. I want Jesus to come into my life. I surrender to Jesus. Take control, Lord Jesus. Forgive me and make me new. If you've prayed that this morning, I'd like you to tell me so I can continue to pray with you and encourage you. Let's pray. God, You are the only truth. You have sent of Yourself in the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the only way to You. Our repentance and faith in You is the only way to absolute truth, absolute security with You, O God, because You are the way. You are the truth. You are life. Father, thank You again for everyone here this morning. And Father, I pray that Your Spirit would lead us today and lead us this week into knowing the truth so we can be set free by the truth if we've never been. Dismiss us now, Father, with Your blessing and Your guiding hand to draw us each closer unto Yourself, to each of us to be more like Christ, to be surrendered wholly to the resurrected Christ, to be born again, to be born of the Spirit. Father, direct us to be holy people, the sheep of your pasture. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.